anyone who needs surgery around the world will be able to do it and get it and survive from it.
Yeah.
And that's the our key, challenge.
Right?
Yeah. And we're making significant impacts by delivering cleft surgery care and by educating and training more and more people each week. The numbers just increase. Mm-hmm. And we're about to launch something very special as this podcast is being aired, where we're going to really build and strengthen 100 district hospitals around the world.
Welcome to Audio Branding, the hidden gem of marketing. Sound plays a more important role in human behavior and our decision-making than you may realize. In this podcast, I'll help you understand the art and science of sound so you can better influence others in business and your life. I'm your host, Jody Krangle. Let's delve a little deeper. Here's the first part of my conversation with Mark Climie Elliott. My next guest is the CEO and Chief Smile Officer of Operation Smile Canada Foundation. Operation Smile is one of the world's largest volunteer-delivered global medical charities serving children born with cleft conditions living in low- and middle-income countries. Prior to joining Operation Smile, he enjoyed more than 40 years serving in a variety of leadership roles in the nonprofit sector, children's rehabilitation, and international hospital startups in the Middle East. His name is Mark Climie Elliott, and I'm fascinated with where this discussion will take us, from helping children to make sound to his philosophy on the importance of sound and why it matters so much to the kids his foundation helps. There's a lot to cover, but I'm extremely honored to help get the word out about this very worthy charity, and I hope after you've listened to how passionate Mark is about this cause that you'll check them out too. This conversation is being released during Podcastthon, so thank you to Jeremy and all the wonderful staff there putting this initiative together. And if you'd like to learn more about Podcastthon and maybe participate in it next year, check out podcastthon.org. As always, if you have questions for my guest, you're welcome to reach out through the links in the show notes. If you have questions for me, visit audiobrandingpodcast.com, where you'll find a lot of ways to get in touch. Plus, subscribing to the newsletter will let you know when the new podcasts are available and what the newest audio chats will be about. And if you're getting some value from listening, the best ways to show your support are to share this podcast with a friend and leave an honest review. Both those things really help, and I'd love to feature your review on future podcasts. You can leave one either in written or in voice format from the podcast's main page. I would so appreciate that. And now, here's my conversation with Mark Climie Elliott.
Welcome, Mark. Thank you so much for coming and joining me today. I really appreciate it.
It's great to be here, Jody, and it's great to hear your voice.
Yeah, I guess you hear it on some of your campaigns, right?
I do. And it's always good to hear your voice, but also see your smile. Those two things go together really, really well at Operation Smile.
Well, thank you. And I'm glad to be able to help in whatever way I can. Speaking of that, though, we're going to get into it here.
Sure.
But I do like to start off all of my discussions with asking you to tell me about an early memory of how sound moved you.
Sure. I had some thinking about this as you sort of coached me at the beginning. And
I think to spring this on people.
Yeah, I know you never do. No, this is always appreciated. The first time sound really got into me was when I found the pots and pans underneath the counter and I found the wooden spoons.
Oh.
And let me say, sound resonated not just from our home, but right through the neighborhood, because I wanted to, I guess, be a rock star drummer at the time. And every opportunity I had, it was, how do I make noise? How do I make sound? And that was my earliest memory. I'll probably say that, probably when you remember things around 4 or 5. Mm-hmm. But for years later, my mother always said, I'm never throwing these pots out, even if we're not using them, because they bring back too many good memories and lots of smiles.
Oh, that's wonderful. Well, yeah. Did you end up putting any of that drumming experience to good use?
Believe it or not, another sound, I play clarinet.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah. Okay. Yeah. So music was sort of a joy to participate in when I was going to school.
Wonderful.
So I played clarinet. Yeah. Wasn't great at choir, I got to say. But, you know, aside from that, you know, you aren't always gifted with sound for what you would call a level singing voice. But I guess I'm a bit off key, but that's okay.
I mean, everybody should be able to make sound. Everybody should be able to make music and yeah. feel good about it. I don't think exactly. there's anything wrong with doing it, whether you're good at it or not.
I agree 100%. And that's why I sing very loudly at church every Sunday. So
go you.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's wonderful.
Love worship. Yep. It's
yeah.
all good.
Well, I wanted to ask you also where, because I know we're having this discussion because of Operation Smile, which
yes.
is the charity that you are CEO of. And I want to learn more about that, definitely, because we are talking specifically at a time when there's something called Podcast-thon on right
yes.
now. So it's an initiative put on, I think it was originally started in France, and they've amassed a whole bunch of people who are now choosing their favorite charities and talking about them on their podcasts and revealing it all, releasing those episodes all at the same time, which I believe is middle to late-ish March.
Fantastic.
So, yeah. So this should come out on March 19th. And that'll be right in the middle of that week that they're releasing everything. And I'm really looking forward to sharing all of this with people who aren't familiar with Operation Smile. So I want to ask you how you started it and why you started it.
Sure. Well, I haven't started Operation Smile back in 1982, although I know the time when the founders, Dr. Bill and Kathy McGee, did start the organization.
Okay.
And it was back then that they were invited to a surgical program in the Philippines. And Dr. McGee is a world-class gifted plastic surgeon. Now, he's retired now, but he's still involved every day in ensuring that our quality is always at the top par. When Bill and Kathy were invited to go on this surgical program, they didn't really know what they were going to expect. But they went to the Philippines, and there were way more children than they could help. And once you get to know the family, and especially you get to know Kathy McGee, you know that that's unacceptable. And so there were many children that arrived at the surgical program that couldn't receive the surgery and care. Some kinds, you know, it could be because they had a cold, but it was really the additional lineups that arrived in people that were anxious. It's back in 1982. And it was then that both Dr. McGee and Kathy realized that there are so many people around the world that don't have the benefit when they get sick and need surgery to actually be able to access it. It's just not there. It's a complete inequity. 6.3%
sure.
of the entire 2 billion population might get surgery where they're lacking surgery. But,
wow.
you know, there's more people in the world that die from not getting surgery than tuberculosis, malaria, and HIV AIDS combined.
Oh, wow. That is such a sad statistic.
It is. And you know, the statistic holds hope for us, and it holds hopes for the family, because for the past 42 years, we've grown as a global organization that through the Child with Cleft, we're taken into the communities where these children and families live, to see the disconnect and the disparity between having access to surgery and even a hospital or a doctor and not having access to surgery.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
a doctor. And so it's that Child with Cleft that is still the center point of our organization's commitment and mission to ensure that every child that comes to us receives the best care possible. And that's quality surgery like they would have here in Canada at SickKids and other children's hospitals, like they would be getting back home. And it's through that really directed, strategic, and focused work that we've been doing, where we can educate and train so many local surgeons, anesthesiologists, nurses, pediatricians, audiologists, speech therapists, dentists, orthodontists, psychosocial workers.
It's a huge list.
It's a huge list. But over the 42 years we've been active, we're now in 37 countries.
Wow.
In which 87% of our volunteers are local.
Oh, that's a good number. I'm glad to hear that.
And it's shrinking each year mm-hmm. as we focus on training and education. Our international volunteers are now there to support, to train, educate, and what we call credential people up. And I'll talk a little bit more about it, you know, in a bit. But, you know, this is how Operation Smile got started. Dr. McGee and Kathy McGee saw this inequity around the world. And they knew that it was through a child with cleft that we would be able to help change that inequity and help ensure that anyone who needs surgery around the world will be able to do it and get it and survive from it.
Yeah.
And
that's
our
key,
challenge.
Right?
Yeah. And we're making significant impacts by delivering cleft surgery care and by educating and training more and more people each week. The numbers just increase. Mm-hmm. And we're about to launch something very special as this podcast is being aired, where we're going to really build and strengthen 100 district hospitals around the world.
Oh, fantastic. That is
right?
really so good to hear.
It is. It is. I want to just be, you know, upfront with everyone that's listening. I'm the CEO. I like to be called the Chief Smile Officer of the Canadian Foundation. Mm-hmm. That's why we're talking, Jody, because you're involved with Operation Smile Canada Foundation.
Yes.
And I have the real honor of working with the McGees and our colleagues around the world that are like us in terms of a foundation that's raising money to support the low and middle income countries mm-hmm. where, you know, yes, they are raising a little bit of money to help the cause, but they need the financial support. They have the infrastructure and they actually have the talent now. Now they're working on raising some local funds and we can help close that gap. So every child waiting for surgery is going to get a safe, effective and timely surgery with thanks to the donors from countries in the US, Canada, Italy, Sweden, UK, Norway and Ireland. So we give thanks around the world to anyone listening right now for your support at Operation Smile.
That is so wonderful.
Hey, Jody, it's Marie Hoffman. I just listened to your podcast with Jim Kennelly and Sam Ufret, and the excitement and positivity that they brought to the podcast about the future of voiceover and synthetic voices and AI was palpable. I felt like I went to 4 years of college in your 31-minute podcast. Thank you so much for airing this. Keep up the good work.
So I'm really glad to hear that it's going so well, just so that people, the person who's listening here, so that they understand what the surgery actually is.
Sure.
Can you explain cleft lip and why it's so difficult for kids?
Sure.
Or anyone, really?
Yeah. You know, and I'm not a doctor, so any doctors listening,
sure.
I'm not going to speak in doctor speak, but cleft lip and palate is one of the world's highest birth anomalies that happen. We say 1 in every 3 minutes a child is born with either a cleft lip, a cleft palate, or both, or 1 in every 700 to 1,000 live births. Now, that's a bit of a gap. 700 to 1,000 really is dependent on the country and the research that we're doing within those countries to show the prevalence of cleft. It's indiscriminate. There are children born here in Canada with cleft lip and palate. Fortunately, we have very good healthcare and free healthcare for the most part for these children to get their surgeries at optimal times, which is 6 months for a cleft lip and anywhere from 12 to 15 months for a cleft palate to ensure that speech gets optimized as babies start to develop their speech around 15, 16 months. Around there, not positive, but
so how does it prevent speech?
If you just take your tongue and run it across the roof of your mouth, and you'll feel the palate. There's the hard palate and the soft palate. Soft mm-hmm. palate at the back, if it's not there, that's what causes reverberation and causes voice and sound to actually appear. So many people with cleft lip and palate, once the palate's repaired, and once the lips repaired, so physically you don't have a difference, you could have a sound difference to your voice, somewhat of a nasality sound or a very hard distinction of enunciation. And therefore, the individual would need to have intensive speech therapy. And we find that with our children. They and even our preteens, teens, and young adults, we will have kids in our speech therapy program, sometimes from, you know, post-surgery right through their adolescence and early adulthood, depending on how much they want to focus on improving that sound and that speech of theirs. And they may need more than one surgery. So
oh, yeah.
If you think about skin and you think about children and babies getting surgeries, you grow. And as you grow, your body grows and your skin changes and grows, and you mm-hmm. could have the need for either revisions or in a cleft palate situation, you might get these tiny little holes called fistulas mm-hmm. and they may need repairs. And that causes discomfort for the individual as well as eating and swallowing and drinking. So it's not a 45-minute surgery and the child goes home and everything's fine. It may take 45 minutes to do a surgery for a cleft lip, a single a lateral cleft lip as opposed to both sides. But 45 minutes to have the lip repaired and then the palate repaired. And then what we say, as long as it takes, we're there for the children and their families. They don't need to worry. That hope that we talked about earlier when we were speaking is always there for the child and the family. Once they're connected with us, the love and support we get from our donors around the world and our sponsors, we're able to ensure to each of the families we meet that we'll look after your child. And that puts a smile on my face each day. I just got back from Guatemala.
Oh, what happened there?
The mothers, the fathers, the aunts and uncles, the grandfathers and the grandmothers that I met, Jody, you know, before they could even say muchas gracias, they were crying. I was crying. I get emotional over things like this because you truly see how my responsibility to connect that emotion back to our supporters, to you, Jody. You're one of our supporters, right? So I thank you, and I have received thanks from families that now have hope. And, you know, every day is a day of hope and caring, and we need to bring smiles and laughter and joy in whatever challenges that we're facing. And this is why I have the best job in the world to meet with our Canadian friends and supporters. And then when I go down and I actually participate in a surgical program, which I did last week, I got to meet some incredible kids. I got to go to Junior's house, which is made of scrap metal. You walk into the hallway, which is sort of an outdoor hallway, and you see the turkeys and chickens off to the right, and then you go into the kitchen. And Junior was so happy to see us, and his mom made us a chicken soup. We sat down in sort of a two-room house that they have, and were able to see firsthand what that love of human kindness, that philanthropy that our partners bring each and every day to our children hits the family back where we are delivering the service. And I get to bring that back and joyfully share the stories. And that gives me joy.
So when you talk about helping a million more patients to receive care by 2030.
Yes.
Are you talking about those 100 hospitals that you're adding? Is that how that's going to happen?
Yes, Jody, that's exactly right. So we have built since the pandemic, which, you know, we couldn't shut down. We just had to innovate and find other places to access safe surgical sites for the children. We did have wait lists grow, but we were still able through private clinics and through safe surgical spots around the world, get a few kids as opposed to 10 to 20 kids a day looked after. But at that time, we realized that we could educate more at each of our surgical programs. So most surgical programs, we'd be looking at a week-long surgical program that would have five tables.
I really appreciate you being here. Know anyone that you think would make a great guest for this podcast? Someone who works in sound on behalf of clients? Please do get in touch. I'd love to hear about them. Your recommendations are always super helpful. And now back to the show.
And each of those five tables would have residents around each table. They would have, of course, the doctors, the anesthesiologists, and anesthesiologists and nurses that are also in training observing. And so each table now we want to have as an education table. So if you think about, you know, if we had a program a year or two ago, we might have one or two education tables of the five. We now are building up to having all tables as education tables, or as many as possible, so that we can take these cohorts of volunteers. And in each of these cohorts, again, we have the surgeon, the preoperative nurse, the surgical nurse, and the postoperative nurse. So in the post-anesthetic unit for the children after they come out of surgery, we have the pediatrician. We have the what we call the biotech. So all of the equipment that we need to use for surgery, which is left in those surgical suites, we may bring them in and equip them, and then it's left there, right? So this is an important piece to remember. So if we have five surgical tables throughout a week, and let's say 100 children get surgery, and there's five operating suites now fully equipped, next week, the hospital has a fully equipped, five fully equipped operating suites to be able to deliver possibly more care. You think about a cleft lip and you think about how important it is to be very, very specifically trained on creating the least amount of scarring possible. Almost sometimes no scarring is visible, right? It's that training and the hours of observing and practicing on simulated dolls before you actually get to the patient. And then you're guided through with very, high level mentors through Operation Smile, that you are now a surgeon that really understands and is highly qualified for what we call microsurgery or plastic surgery in this level. And therefore, when you're doing other surgery, which you might be doing in your daily practice, the quality improves there as well.
Oh, that's wonderful. Yeah.
And we have an AI tool now.
I was going to ask you if AI had anything to do with stuff now. Yeah,
we have an AI tool where we photograph before, during, and after the surgeries. Mm-hmm. So the child before, and then during the surgery, and afterwards. And it feeds into a system that allows us to evaluate on what we call our optimal scale for surgery. And then the surgeons and the team get to look at the results once they're compiled to see how they compare to what we call the optimal, like sort of the median. And, you know, if there are areas in which they can then say, okay, this could be areas for improvement For the next, patient. We all want to get that, I don't want to call it the perfect score, but the optimal score. So yeah, we're using AI in specific areas. And, that's one of them. So it's good.
I'm really glad it can be useful that way. Yeah, it's good to
it
hear.
Can be very helpful.
Yeah. So what's the criteria for a child to be able to go through this surgery?
The criteria is that they're in a low and middle income country where they don't have access. The burden of not having access to surgery or the burden of not having the financial resources to pay for it. Mm-hmm. In many parts of the world, you can get cleft surgeries completed, but it could cost even as low as $100 in a local clinic. And if you're a family that's living off of $10 a week and you don't have any savings, then that's impossible. I mean, we have cases where patients and their families are struggling. And until they find us and realize that we can help them, A, get to the surgery, be lodged during the surgery, and to be cared for it at that time so the financial burden comes off their shoulders, then, they feel secure. And they can move forward. So a child needs to be at optimal health for the surgery.
Okay, I was going to ask you about the health as well. Yeah.
Yeah. So if, you're born with a cleft lip and palate, depending on where you're born, one of the biggest issues is malnutrition. So we have nutritionists that start right from the day the child's born to work with the parents on what they need to do to then get their baby to the optimal health in order to get the surgery. This can take some time. And in some cases, it can be frustrating for families because they may bring their infant back to be assessed and they're still undernourished. So they still need to then continue on that nourishment. We won't do surgery. I remember when I had surgery, I had to go to a pre-screening the day before, have all my blood work done, be weighed, et cetera. So they weren't going to do surgery on me if I had a cold, if I had the flu, or if any of my blood work didn't check out. So this is what we do for every child, regardless. We have to. It's part of the quality standard.
Of course,
We will not do surgery on a child unless everything on the checklist is checked off and approved by not just the surgeon, but the anesthesiologist and the surgical team.
Are you looking for ways to improve your company's or podcast's impact? You'd be surprised how powerful the use of an intentional audio branding strategy can be. Want to know more? I have a free downloadable PDF that gives you my 5 tips for implementing an intentional audio strategy at voiceoversandvocals.com/audio-branding-strategy. That location does ask to put you on a mailing list, just to send you updates on when the new podcasts come out. But if you really don't want to give your email out, I understand. Just contact me directly. My email is all over my website, and I'll make sure you get that PDF without needing to sign up anywhere. If you do sign up, though, you also get access to a resources section called The Studio, where I have videos, white papers and PDFs, discounts from my guests, and snippets of audio from my guests that no one else gets to hear. So maybe it's worth your while. Totally up to you. And of course, if you're looking for voiceovers, you can get in touch with me about that too. Now, back to the podcast.
Yeah, I remember the audio that you asked me to do for your latest campaign had to do, was it Daniela?
Daniela,
yeah. So like apparently she hadn't been able to have a surgery for a really long time because of her health.
That's right.
So that's when it finally happened, I mean, what a relief for her and her parents. But so just being able to be healthy enough for the surgery is probably huge in such areas.
Well, when you're born with a cleft lip and a cleft palate, I mean, if the palate does not have some type of temporary roof plate, as we would say in normal language, or what we call an obturator, to be built to help close the gap for you to, for infants to be able to breastfeed, and for older children to be able to eat and drink without potentially food and or water coming up through the nasal cavity. It can cause choking. It can cause eating problems, And kids with clefts like Daniela, if she is having difficulty eating and swallowing, it takes time for that nutrition and that health to get restored. And, you know, again, you have to look at the living conditions that a lot of these kids are in. And it's not something that you can just turn around and fix in 3 or 4 weeks. Sometimes it takes months and maybe even longer. And again, Daniela, always on our radar, would always check in. And fortunately, she was able to get her surgery this past fall. And that's
wonderful. Yeah,
it was. And it was really thanks to our nutritional team down in the Dominican Republic that helped her.
That's great. Yeah, I was really glad to hear that. And of course, it's always nice to voice stuff that you really believe in, you know?
True.
That makes it more fun and more rewarding.
This has been part one of our interview. I hope you'll tune in next week for part two. Well, that's the end of this episode. Thanks for listening. And if you like what you heard, why not tell a friend about this podcast? It's available in all the usual locations. Until next time.